Have your Bible, Exodus chapter 19. Now I'm going to take just a minute. If you remember, the children of Israel fell into flesh and choices and sin four different times before the third month after they got out of Egypt. So listen very carefully. The first one, do you remember? Can anybody tell me the first time they began to murmur against the Lord because of what he didn't do for them? They were scared to death. Can anybody tell me what it was? They'd just gotten out of Egypt. What happened? The Egyptians came right toward them, and God takes the fire and moves it from the back to the front. From the front to the back. As he was leading them, their backs are up to the Red Sea, and they're terrified. They say, well, are there not any graves in Egypt? We're going to die here. And the Lord said to Moses, go, march. And he put his foot in the Red Sea, and it parted. That's the first thing. They saw God do miracles 10 different times, but they couldn't trust him for the 11th, for the Red Sea to part. Now, don't get me wrong. The Red Sea is a big one. But God's not going to do 10 miracles, get them out of Egypt, and then let them die at the edge of the Red Sea. God is going to do something. That's where faith comes in. We all know that God can. The question is, the old devil sits right here and says, but will he do it for you? And you and I know that he will do it for us because we are his great peculiar treasure. Every Christian, God loves you dearly. And you are special to him, a peculiar treasure. Every teenager, every adult, every child of God, we just don't realize what we mean to the Lord. And he's not going to leave us alone to be destroyed by the old devil. So they do. He does 10 miracles. They can't trust him for the 11th. And then, if you remember, they march from the Red Sea across. They're singing the songs of praise to God. And the next chapter, they come to the waters of Marah, and they murmur against Moses and the Lord. Does anybody know what God did to cure the waters from bitter to sweet? Throw that tree in. And they throw the tree in the water because God said to, and the waters were sweet. Twice. Now, then they go to the wilderness of sin. Right after they've gotten to Elim, which is palm trees, 12 wells of water, a paradise. They leave there. They go into the wilderness of sin. No water, no food. They begin to complain. They begin to gripe about Moses. The leeks and the fish were better in Egypt. Why didn't we stay there? Why would we die here in the wilderness? God's already done 10 miracles, the Red Sea, 11. He's already fixed the water in Marah, 12. I don't understand what's wrong with Israel. Why they can't trust him. Until I look in the mirror. And I say, Lord, can't you do, what's going on today? I know you did it yesterday, but what about today? I know you did the miracle last month, but Lord, this is this month. Lord, where are you? Anybody like that other than me? And I see the children of Israel and I say, Lord, don't let me be like them. And I look in the mirror and say, Lord, I'm just like them. I'm sorry. Do you understand? God does things to let us see that he is still alive today and with great power, the same power that he put the sun and the moon in his place. And yet we have to learn to trust him. This generation of Israelites never learned it. God brought water and he brought manna from heaven and he brought quail that were so deep, they were waist deep for as far as the eye could see. They had food. And he said, look, don't go out on Sunday. There won't be any manna. They went out on Sunday anyway. And he says, when are you going to learn? Now, tonight's lesson is about one word, obedience. It's perhaps the most treasured word to the Lord aside from loving him. By the way, if you love the Lord, he says, you will obey him and it won't be grievous. So love to God is obedience with joy. That's the love of God. Obedience with joy. It's forgiving somebody with a joy in your heart. It's loving the unlovable with joy in your heart. It's being good to people that don't deserve it. And so we have to learn to obey the Lord and trust him to take care of things. I want you to notice in the outline, if you have your Bible, then they go to Rephidim. We're not going to stop there, but if you'll notice, you can see in chapter number, if you take your Bible and look, if you would, in chapter number 17, look at me if you would, in verse number five. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go, and I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come forth water out of the rock. Look, if you would, in verse 2. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses the fourth time since they left Egypt. You'll notice, and Moses said, look, in verse number 3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses. In verse 4, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. This is after 13 miracles. They're still ready to stone Moses because they don't trust the Lord. And folks, tonight, listen to me. All of us have that same heart. If we're not careful, when we pray and God doesn't do it that day, that week, we begin to back up and say, Lord, the Lord doesn't love me. Am I really sure that I'm serving the God that everybody talks about? And we begin to doubt the Lord. And that is Satan's plan. God answers our prayers. We doubt him the next day. We doubt him the next month. Israel is a microcosm of a fleshly Christian. Up and down. Singing his praises down the dumps. Singing his praises down the dumps. And you're going to notice in this passage now, let's go through chapter 19. Look, if you would, in verse number 1, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, he's done 14 miracles if you include the land of Egypt. And now it's been 3 months in the third month. And God says, I want to talk to you guys. Notice, if you would, Rome numeral 1. The text or the actual outline, the very first phrase, the people prepared to meet with God. Now, they didn't do a good job of it, but they tried. And so notice, if you would, Rome number 1, in the third month, God called a meeting to talk with Moses and the Israelites. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. I want you to tell them something for me. We're going to meet. I want to talk to them. And notice, if you would, A, Moses went to the mountain of Sinai to meet with God. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, or house of Jacob. Look, I want to talk to them. I'm going to tell you what to say, but then I want them to meet with me. Now watch. B in the outline, the Lord gave Moses a message from his heart to the people of Israel. God wants a message to all of us tonight. Will you please obey me and follow me? I will bless you. I do love you. But will you obey me? And folks, tonight, obedience is the hardest task of the Christian. Obedience in trust. Lord, I'll obey you. I'll trust you for the results. Notice, if you would, in the outline, the Lord first spoke about how he destroyed the Egyptians and brought Israel out on eagle's wings unto himself. Notice what he says. Look in verse number 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. Now, in their mind, they had a mental picture of the Egyptians washing up on shore. Do you saw what I did? You begged and cried. You threatened Moses, and I washed them up on shore. And do you remember that? And then notice the next phrase he says, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, if you know anything about eagles, in Isaiah 41, he speaks about eagles. And an eagle will put their nest, they're way up in a tall tree or a mountain crag where very few predators could ever possibly reach. And then they take their down and they tuft the nest with it. But the nest is made out of sharp, prickly tree limbs and things like that. And so while the eaglets are young, the nest is soft and easy. But then the eagle begins to pull out the down and begins to pull out all the comfort. And the eagles begin to get up on the edge of the nest and look down and say, I don't know. And the mom eagle will knock them out of the nest and they'll flutter around. And the eagle will reach down and get them on her back and take them up, put them in the nest. That's his illustration here. How I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. When I knocked you out of the nest, you looked at the Egyptian and said, oh, we're going to die. And I swooped down and picked you up and brought you back to safety unto myself. And then you go to Rephidim and you don't have any water and you begin to flap your wings and murmur and complain. I swooped down and grabbed you again, brought you unto myself. 14 times I've done that for you. Will you obey me now? And folks, I don't know if we as Christians ever really learn to trust the Lord like very few Christians have. A George Mueller that had absolute confidence in the Lord. Does anybody know how much time he prayed in the mornings, every morning, before he went to the orphanages to make sure they had food? 2 hours. He said, if I can't get a couple of hours with God, I can't make it through the day. The Apostle Paul, he's in prison and he writes Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians to try to help Christians grow. There are very few Christians that rise to the level of, you can beat me, you can beat me with rods, you can stone me, but I'm still going to trust him. And that's the reason there are very few Pauls. George Mueller didn't ask for a dime from anyone and fed up to 1,000 orphans every day on his knees. If he can do it, why can't we just trust him to take care of our daily needs? If Moses could do 14 miracles for the children of Israel before the third month as they're out, why in the world can't we in our humanity say, Lord, I don't understand, I don't see it, but I will trust you and I will obey. And folks tonight, that's the simple lesson. He's going to talk to the children of Israel and give them the Ten Commandments, simple commands to obey him. And they couldn't do them. They're not difficult. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, notice in the outline, 2, he asked Israel to obey him. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. You might want to underline it. I underlined it in my Bible. Now, therefore. Because what's the therefore? Therefore, because he wants you to look back and say, remember, I brought you up on eagle's wings to myself. When you were in trouble, when you couldn't see how you were going to make it, you thought you were going to die, I swooped down, picked you up on my wings and brought you unto myself. He said, now therefore, verse 5, if you will obey my voice indeed, if you'll obey my voice in truth, fully, honestly, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. What an opportunity of a lifetime to be a peculiar treasure. Hebrew word here for a special possession. How many of you have got something that's very special to you? In your house. I mean, a very special treasure. But Downs, can you share with us what it is? I mean, if you can't, how many of you can share with us what is something very precious to you in your house? Can you tell me? Somebody here. Yes, ma'am. Jennifer? Okay, something very precious from her grandmother. Somebody else, something very precious. Susan had a bowl that her mother, grandmother brought in a covered wagon into Texas, and it was very special to her. Couldn't be replaced. That's what God says you are to me if you'll obey me. You'll be, notice the wording in verse 5, a treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. What was the privilege of the priests? To meet with the Lord personally. In that day and age, only the priests could offer the offerings. Only the priests could be in the presence of that tabernacle or the temple one day. Do you understand you had to be a priest? This is where the Roman Catholics have pulled it over to say, you come to me, I'm a priest, and confess your sin to me. And so the idea was that a priest connected straight to the Lord. And you and I, if you read Revelation chapter 1, we're a kingdom of priests and kings. He said, I have eliminated all of the issues for you to come into my presence because of the blood of my son. He said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, he made it where you and I were priests unto him. We could walk right into his presence. But he said, if you'll obey me, you'll be special to me above all the people on the earth. You know what he's telling you there? He's telling you two things. You have the opportunity that nobody else has. Well, that nobody else will take advantage of. Because he says, you will be unto me above all people. He knows all the other people will not obey him. But if you'll obey him, you'll be his treasured possession. Do you understand God loves you tonight? And all we have to do is obey him, and we'll be his treasure forever. I know your name. Psalm 139, I see you sit down. I see you stand up. I am before you, behind you, beside you. If you were to make your bed in the grave, into hell, I'd be there. If you could go into heaven, I'd be there. If you go to the uttermost part of the sea, I'll be there. You are mine. And that's where he said, I bear you up on eagle's wings, not to the nest, unto myself. You tonight have the opportunity to be a peculiar treasure to the God of heaven. But he says, above all the people on earth, because all the people on earth don't obey me. Now notice, if you would, in the outline, he says, two, he asked Israel to obey him. God loves obedience. Now notice, three ways obedience happens. A, he wants instant obedience. He doesn't want you to think about it and delay and wonder. When I was growing up and I had my horse, Mitzi, quarter horse, I'd ride the barrels with her, and I would take the reins and lay them on her neck to see if I could get her to obey by the use of my knees, like the old Indians would do. And so I'd go, I'd goose her, and she'd take off, and we'd go toward the first barrel, and I'd start to lean on that right knee, and she'd start to turn the barrel. But sometimes it was like she'd have a brain freeze. She'd just keep running, kind of at an angle. It wasn't instant. It'd go right up to the fence line. I'd say, what are you doing? And then I'd have to get the reins and pull her back because I was afraid she'd run into the fence. And then sometimes I'd go toward that barrel, touch that knee, and like that. I had to, whoa. That was a quick turn. And she'd almost knock over the barrel. I'm thinking, what's the difference? Well, she's like people. One day she wants to obey, the next day she wants to do her own thing. Isn't that like us? Well, he wants instant obedience. Notice number two, or B, God's will for us is to completely obey. It's to do every part of his wish. And number three, God's wish is that we give him heartfelt obedience. It's not, okay, I'll do it, but I don't like it. Okay, I'll do it, but, you know, I'd rather be doing something else. In other words, our heart is all in obedience to the Lord. I want to please you. I want to do the right thing. I want you to be proud of me. We don't have teenagers like that. We don't have parents like that. We don't have adults like that. We don't have older people like that. Titus chapter 2 says, let the old men teach the young men, the old women teach the young women. We don't have old men or women that are able to teach because their obedience is not instant, it's not complete, and it's not with a heart. And so young people don't see why they should. Folks, tonight, it's important that those of us in this room learn these three points about obedience. I'm going to do it right when God says it. I'm going to do it completely. If I'm supposed, Lord, you touched my heart about going to that person and apologize for something that I did a while back. I'm going to do it right now, and I'm going to do it with all. I'm going to do it completely. I'm going to say, look, would you forgive me? I'm sorry. I didn't do the right thing. I'm asking you to forgive me, and I mean it. And the person kind of looks and says, well, it's forgiven. No problem. Very few Christians do that. Make things completely right with their heart. Notice, if you would, three, God said if they did obey, he would make them his peculiar treasure above every other nation on earth. And I gave you the Hebrew definition. Notice, peculiar means valued. So you become of great worth to the Lord, a jewel, something of prized possession, special, a possession. So God says, you'll be to me a peculiar treasure above all the people on earth if you'll just obey me. Now notice, this is number four in the outline. By obeying God, they would become his holy nation. They all would be in his inner circle. And that's priests and kings. Notice, if you would, in verse six, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Moses, would you go down and tell them what I said? Now notice, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And notice the response. Look here. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Instant, complete, and it sounds like your heart's in it. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And I can imagine Moses says, man, I dig it. I get to go back and tell the Lord. They're all in. And he goes up and says, the children of Israel said they're all in. Now watch. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak unto thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord had said to Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them. Now let's pause for a minute. Notice, if you would, in the outline, Roman numeral 2. When the people chose to obey the Lord and serve him, the Lord gave Moses the guidelines for the people to follow, to meet with him. And verse number 8, you'll notice they said, we'll do it. Verse number 10, the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes. Now, I don't know about you. How many of you like clean clothes? I don't know about you, but how many of you like clean sheets? Oh, now that's one of my favorites. I mean, I like to, you know, get up the sheets and kind of smell them, slide into those sheets. Oh, that's heavenly. Clean sheets. But to put on clean shirts or clean slacks or a clean dress or a clean blouse, I mean, there's something about that. My grandparents used to do laundry once a week. And so you were very careful with your clothes that you wore. because laundry day was a big deal. They got underneath that black kettle and you got the wood and put it underneath there, started the fire, and that's what heated the water to boiling hot. And you take that water and pour it in the washing machine. My grandmother cranked that stuff and grabbed a stick, and that was an old ugly looking stick, and grabbed the clothes and put them up in that little roller and start cranking it, and it would squeeze all the water out. And you'd go hang that on the line, smell that. Oh, it was clean. It was wonderful. God says, go sanctify the people. Tell them to clean their clothes. So, two things about sanctification. It means holy. It means clean. It means ready to meet the King. So when you and I get up in the morning and say, well, I get up, I guess I got to read my Bible. I guess I got to, well, maybe have my devotions. Well, I got other things I need to do. Well, I'll take a few minutes and, okay, Lord, I'd like to talk to you for a minute. Lord, can I get, let me read and just read. And I don't think the Lord's impressed. He's a great King. He wants you and I's heart attention. He said, I want you to go into your closet. I want you to go into your closet and close the door, and I want you to talk with me. You know what he's trying to say? I want to be first. I want to be most important to you. I know this. Anybody here have ADD? How many of you know what that means? It means your attention spans like that. My picture is in the dictionary beside that word. I have to work to pay attention unless it's a football game. And for some reason, I can't tell if the house is burning down. I'm just glued. But when I get my Bible, it's like the old devil brings up 10,000 things. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's like I have got X-ray memory of everything that I need to do for the next week. And it all comes in my mind. And I try to read my Bible. I just got all these thoughts in my mind. I've said, Lord, please help me to block all these things out. I want you to be first. Notice what he says. Look here very quickly. He says this. Verse 10. He said, sanctify them today and tomorrow. Take a couple of days to make them pure and clean. And let them wash their clothes. And be ready again the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. I'm coming to meet you on the third day. Will you be ready? So tonight, the question is, will you be ready in the morning to meet with the Lord? You want to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and cleanse your heart and mean it when you close your door. I don't know necessarily that he means for you to have a physical room, but a mental room where it's just you and him. And he delights in that. Do you know why he saved us? Do you know why he loves you? Because he wants to walk with you. He wants people to love him, to choose to love him over the world. He says, the third day I'm coming to meet with you, will you choose to be ready? Now, I want to remind you, can anybody tell me what this group of people did not do in 40 years?
Did not go into the promised land.
They never made it to the promised land. You don't know why? They just couldn't concentrate on the Lord. They saw everything in the world, complained about everything, griped about everything, complained against God. And God says, okay, you're never going to the promised land. I want people that will follow me and obey me to conquer the land. Tonight, if you're going to be a conqueror, if I'm going to be a conqueror, he has to be first. And I have to make up my mind, I'm going to be clean and I'm going to obey you and follow you. And folks, this new building, this new complex the Lord's given to us, it's not a panacea. It's not something we're going to go over and everybody's going to be great Christians. It has nothing to do with that. It is between you and me and the Lord, and that building is just a place to help other people come and trust Christ. And for other people to say, well, that place, they love the Lord. They love people. They love me. That's why we want to be friendly. We're not trying to mimic Chick-fil-A. We're trying to mimic the Lord. We're trying to love people that don't deserve it. We're trying to tell people that don't deserve to go to heaven, just like us, that there's a great God in heaven that wants to save them. All of us tonight. Now notice, if you would, in the outline. We're going to be in his inner circle. He promised that. He said, look, I'm going to make you special to me. But he said, look, now he gives the guidelines, A in the outline, they were to be sanctified. Now notice he says this three times. Look at verse 10. The Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them. Look at verse 14. And Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people. And they washed their clothes. Look at verse 22. And the priest, verse 22. And let the priest also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves. When you come near to the Lord, you must be sanctified. You must be holy. You must be clean. The word holy is set apart unto the Lord. Folks tonight, this is such a simple lesson, but these people never got it. And they lost their greatest dreams. And you know what? If you and I don't get it, we're going to lose our greatest dreams. Our children won't follow the Lord. Our marriages won't be the sweetest marriages on earth. Our blessings will be limited. And our sweetness between us and the Lord will always be striving to try to somehow get our prayers answered. And the Lord wants to answer them quickly. And he wants us to be special. And he wants us to come to him. And he wants us to have fellowship with him. It's the reason he saved us. Notice, if you would, B, they were to set bounds and not come up to the mountain. C, they were not to get too close to the mountain and gaze upon God or they would perish. It's almost like the Lord saying, I don't want you to look at me as a spectator, kind of similar, well, what's God like? I want you, if you come to the mountain, I want you to have a humbleness and I want you to look at me with awe, not gaze. Gaze has a sense of, I wonder what he's like. I wonder if God's eyes are blue. I wonder. No, not to gaze upon the Lord, but to be in awe of him, of his character, of his person, of his love for you and me. It's when our eyes come from our heart and we want to know God. Notice with me, if you would, D, God knew that Israel said they would obey him, but he knew their flesh was stronger than their promise. Tonight, can I ask you this, very near closing? Is your flesh stronger than your promise? Is your flesh stronger than your desires to please the Lord? E, God came down and spoke the Ten Commandments to Israel. They were scared to death and asked Moses to speak to God for them. They were afraid of God. Notice, if you would, in verse number 24, and the Lord said unto him, away get thee down, thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them, because he just knew they weren't real. So Moses went down to the people and spake unto them. And notice, if you would, verse 1 of chapter 20. And God spake all these words, saying, it was God himself that gave those Ten Commandments. I don't know if you realize that or not. Verse 2, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know what he's saying? I want to be first to you. Whenever I tell my wife, you're my best girl, that don't sound good. She's my only girl. When I say, I tell somebody I'm really proud of you, that's okay. If people, the Lord wants us to say, Lord, I love you more than all. The greatest debate my wife and I have to each other is who love each other most. That's okay. You and I can't have that discussion with the Lord because he always wins it. I love you most. But you know, I think he'd like to hear, Lord, I love you more than anybody and anything in this life. Can we say that? He wants your love more than your money. Now, if you love him, he'll get your money. He wants your love more than a job. But if you love him, he already has your job. He wants your love more than your possessions, your health. And if you love him with all of your heart, you can take anything health-wise, financial-wise, because he's first. Notice, if you would, after the outline, we must fear and respect our God. But he loves to speak with us personally if we are sanctified and obedient. Gee, let's put ourselves in the position to regularly speak with the Lord personally. Tonight, you know, look, if you would, in verse number 21 of chapter 19. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Don't gaze upon the Lord. Look upon the Lord with love and intensity. That's what the Lord wants from all of us. He wants us to put him first. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is the first command of those 10. I want to be first. By the way, you'll notice he does say in these 10 commandments, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Then verse 4, that wouldn't happen if they had no other gods before the Lord. He's sort of like reminded them with these different commands. Can somebody tell me this? We'll close. What is the greatest command of Scripture? Thou shalt what? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, mind, body, and soul. If you do that, you become his peculiar treasure, because few love him with all their hearts. But tonight, why can't all we? Only if our flesh is stronger than our desires for him. Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. I don't think the children of Israel were bad people. I think we're much like them. But we don't have to follow in their footsteps. We can obey the Lord instantly, completely, and with our hearts. We're going to have a word of prayer tonight. Maybe you need to come to this altar and say, Lord, I do want to love you more. Lord, I do want to love you completely. Lord, I want to love you first. Would you help me that my flesh would not overrule my love for you? That's what he wants, to be first. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. I pray that you would help us to put you first in our lives and in our love so that we could speak with you, we could worship you, we could have a loving fellowship with you. In your name we pray.